Good afternoon, Senator Vitale, Representative Dill, and members of the committee. My name is Patrice McCarron. I'm the executive director of the Maine Lobstermen's Association, and we are an industry-based fishing organization whose mission is to advocate for a sustainable lobster resource and the fishermen and communities that depend on it. LD 1678, an act to protect Maine's lobster fishery, identifies a serious concern regarding how pesticides used in coastal areas could impact the lobster resource. Lobster landings were conservatively valued at more than $340 million in 2012, easily contributing $1 billion to the Maine economy. We anticipate that lobster landings will be valued even higher when the final figures for 2013 are in. Our rural Down East Maine communities account for more than a half of these landings. If something happens to the lobster resource, Maine's coastal economy would be devastated. The potential impact of pesticide use on the lobster resource is a very real concern for Maine's lobster industry. The MLA would like to thank Representative Kumega, Representative Devin, and the other co-sponsors for putting this bill forward and elevating the issue surrounding the potential threat of pesticides to lobster and other commercial marine species in the wild. However, the MLA is testifying neither for nor against because while we agree that many pesticides pose serious risk to lobster, we do not agree with the proposed course of action or its scope. And we are very concerned with the lack of science to inform these decisions here in Maine. With regard to the proposed course of action, the MLA believes that an outright ban of pesticides in coastal areas could be warranted, but we also acknowledge that there are other approaches such as restricting how, when, and where pesticides are used in coastal areas, similar to the solution we reached with this committee on the use of dimlin to control brown-tailed moth about 8 years ago. In terms of the scope of this bill, we know that many pesticides, not just methoprene or resmethrin, can have lethal or sublethal effects on lobster. And there are many reasons beyond mosquito control that require their use. In fact, research conducted in Long Island Sound has shown that lobsters are more sensitive to malathion than to methoprene or resmethrin. And a few years ago, cypermethrin was found in dead lobsters just across the Maine border in Canada, where the pesticide was linked to applications used to control salmon lice. And this is despite a ban on its use for this purpose. The MLA believes that banning methoprene and resmethrin, which according to the Board of Pesticides Control are not currently used for mosquito control in Maine, oversimplifies the problem and could give our industry a false sense of security. Instead, state agencies need to conduct research along the Maine coast to understand which pesticides are being detected in sediment and in organisms and understand the potential impacts on Maine's important commercial species such as lobster. The board has stated that they will convene an ERAC and conduct a two-year study to look at pesticides. And as Maine grapples with the appearance of diseases such as West Nile virus and Eastern equine encephalitis, this study will provide the guidance necessary to make prudent policy decisions and establish informed guidelines for pesticide use in coastal areas. The MLA strongly supports this approach. The importance and need for this research cannot be overstated. We don't have to look too far to see the devastating outcomes for other lobster fisheries in the Northeast. The Long Island Sound lobster fishery suffered a massive die-off in 1999. The Rhode Island fishery has suffered a widespread outbreak of lobster shell disease, and the Southern New England lobster fishery has recently collapsed. In contrast, the Maine fishery has expanded and continues to land record catches of lobster. There have been many investigations to understand the disappearance of these lobster fisheries. A common thread is that all of these fisheries collapses took place at the southern range of the lobster resource, and all have experienced significant increases in water temperature. However, the potential role of pesticides in these events is far less clear. A $10 million research initiative was conducted in the wake of the Long Island Sound lobster die-off in 1999 to investigate the potential causes of the mass mortality event. The Long Island Sound die-off coincided with an outbreak of West Nile virus, which claimed 7 lives in a subsequent mosquito control program in New York and Connecticut to curb adult and larval mosquito populations. Through the Long Island Sound Research Initiative, 4 studies looked at the potential role of pesticides in the die-off. The final report, and I've included a copy of that for you, as well as a couple of abstracts from the talk, which took place for the final symposium, The report states, quote, that three classes of pesticides were examined, methoprene, a larvicide, malathion, a commonly used pesticide targeting adult mosquitoes, and resmethrin, a newer pyrethroid pesticide targeting adults that is more toxic but very short-lived. All three pesticides were used to combat the West Nile virus outbreak in the summer and fall of 99, and all were found to have the potential to adversely affect lobster. The report continues, lab studies reveal that while lobsters are relatively unaffected by methoprene, they are considerably more sensitive to the effects of malathion than other freshwater fish and aquatic invertebrates previously tested. Other lab studies show that sublethal effects, such as the impairment of immune response, stress hormone production, occur at much smaller concentrations than lethal effects. All effects occurred at concentrations in parts per billion, and it's important to note that through this research, those new techniques to detect pesticides at those low levels were developed, and as I understand it, the science has advanced quite a ways since then. The report also states, while it is evident that certain concentrations of these pesticides can kill lobster, one important question was whether enough of the pesticide got into the Long Island Sound water column to cause illness or death in the lobster. The dispersion of the individual pesticides over time was examined using two independent modeling techniques and very conservative assumptions such as 100% of each pesticide entered the water before beginning to break down. The results indicated that only a few areas in the far western sound, which is right at the mouth of New York City, could have had pesticide concentrations at levels high enough to cause sublethal effects in lobster. But many people still associate pesticides with the Long Island Sound lobster die-off. However, the study found that the Long Island Sound lobsters were severely physiologically stressed due to sustained poor environmental conditions on the bottom, which included above average water temperatures of more than 70 degrees Fahrenheit, hypoxia, increased fluxes of ammonium and sulfide from the bottom sediments, and severe weather fronts that caused rapid mixing of this water. While these hostile environmental conditions were likely sufficient to have caused the lobster deaths in absence of any other factors, the study concluded that the fate of the Long Island Sound lobsters was sealed by a newly discovered lobster disease caused by a paramoeba because the lobsters were already so physically stressed. Though a small commercial fishery remains, the lobster population in Long Island Sound has not recovered, and the state of Connecticut continues to investigate the potential impacts of pesticides on these lobsters. In 2011, the Connecticut DEEP tested some weak lobsters. Their website states, quote, the lobster tissues, tamale or liver, and reproductive organs were tested for the presence of three mosquito control agents, malathion, methoprene, and resmethrin. The test showed some lobsters collected in the mid-sound waters were exposed to resmethrin, and at least one was exposed to methoprene. Malathion was not present in any of the samples. And we understand that it is the findings of this study that serve as the basis for the submission of this bill. We were very concerned to learn that, and we followed up with Bill Hyatt last year, who's the Bureau Chief of the Natural Resources Council in Connecticut, about the preliminary results, and he said the results were unexpected, especially after last year when there was very little pesticide used. Mosquito larvae are now controlled with a virus, not a pesticide, and when methoprene was used last year, it was sprayed in an area far away from the shoreline. He continued that the lobstermen in Long Island continue to be concerned about the use of the effects of pesticide spraying, but there has been no evidence to suggest that the lobsters have ingested the pesticides until recently, and there is still no evidence that pesticides have caused the problem. Since then, and as Mr. Jennings has testified, we have learned that they have rerun those tests, and the new findings indicate that no pesticides were directly detected in the lobster tissue or tamale. In conclusion, we know that lobsters have not fared well in Long Island Sound or in southern New England, but we have yet to find reliable scientific evidence that pesticides are the cause. However, we do have strong scientific evidence from lab studies that many pesticides used in mosquito control and for other reasons have worrisome sublethal and lethal effects on lobster. Given the importance of Maine's lobster industry to our state and coastal economy, Maine must be proactive in undertaking its own studies to understand the effects of pesticides on our commercial marine species. Maine's lobster industry does not need a false sense of security by banning two pesticides. Instead, we need to understand what this problem means to Maine and to our fisheries. We must base our policy decisions on sound science, not fear. The MLA urges you to support the Board of Pesticides Control in completing the necessary research. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. This is great testimony. My question is, are you guys, would you be satisfied with the study that you sent back in your testimony, a two-year study to look at pesticides? Is that satisfactory to make sure that we do it and do it right? That's my I
want
to make sure this
stuff. Yeah, the MLA has had a history working with the Board of Pesticides Control. We were involved in the West Nile Virus Task Force back when West Nile Virus was first found in Maine. And we worked very closely with them on the brown tail moth issue, which carried on. I joke with Henry, I got married and had a baby. And you know, that was probably a little slower. I hope that something would happen a little bit more quickly this time. But I believe that Mr. Jennings is sincere, that the lobster industry will be happy with the outcome of the ERAC process and the study, and if we're not, we'll keep working until we are. I think the issue is just too important not to, but we don't know anything about what this means in Maine right now.
So you're saying you would rather have good scientific-based information than to jump into something that we may not want to go to right now?
Correct.
Are there other questions? Senator Vitale.
Thank you very much. My question is, thank you very much for being here at this extensive lesson in lobster life and death. I'm just curious as to what role the MLA might play with this study. And since you support the study, are there ways that you could actively be engaged in the study?
Yes, we are very persistent with that. We will be on the list, and we are on the Board of Pesticides Control mailing list right now, so we monitor all that they do, but I would personally plan to attend the meetings of the ERAC. I've consulted with DMR's lobster biologist and sort of gotten his take on, you know, do you think that this is really going to yield the sorts of results that we need, and he feels that this is a very, very good approach and will provide the data that we need to make the right kind of decisions. And you know, I'll also say for the ban, it's concerning to me that cypermethrin is banned in Canada to control salmon lice, but people get desperate, so they went across the border, they bought it, and they used it anyway. And that was one of the really hard lessons that we learned as an association through brown tail moth. We wanted to ban aerial spraying of Dimlin. And over several years, we learned that, you know what, there is a lot of unintended consequences, and we aren't the experts, and we were able to push the application of that pesticide back. We were able to make our case to the Board of Pesticides Control that there's no such thing as perfect conditions. And so they were precautionary, and we worked out a really nice compromise where we can really acknowledge that brown-tailed moth rash is horrible, and people do need to be protected, but the marine environment, I think, is very safe, and I've not gotten a call since from a lobsterman saying that they got sprayed by an airplane with Dimlin, so I think that that was very effective and worth the time.
Are there other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. And I have no one else left on my list, but is there anyone else who'd like to speak neither for nor against LD 1678? Seeing none, we'll close the hearing.